Good evening, everybody. So tonight's year we're going to talk about Mashiv Ruach Amarat Hagashem. Welcome back. Mashiv Ruach Amarat Hagashem, whatever it is, we've all heard and we've all looked into that already. We're past that. And now we are up to some very interesting points about Mashiv Ruach. So let's begin like this. We know that there are two different times in which we mention the rain in our Shemona Esrei. One is called Gevuras Geshamim, that's Mashiv Ruach Amarat Hagashem. And the second time that we mention it is She'ela. She'ela is in Birchas Hashanim, when we give a special request to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should give us the rain, and that is when we say V'sein Talamat to the Vracha. As we know, we only begin to say Mashiv Ruach on Sukkis, on Shmini Atzeres, and then we begin to recite the V'sein Talamat to the Vracha later on. In Eretz Yisrael, they recited on Zayin Mar Cheshvan. In America, we begin on December 4th, December 5th. It's a whole She'ela, had we get to this calculation. That's not for right now. But let's begin like this. The Ritva has an interesting question in Tainus on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where he asks, why is it that Mashiv Ruach is called Gevuras Geshamim? Where does this come from? What's the Gevura? And why does Mashiv Ruach get that special title of Gevura? Says the Ritva as follows. Number Aleph on the source sheet, Zok the Ritva. Mishim shemafteach shel ha-geshamim lo minsru bidei ha-shaliach. The mafteach of geshamim, which means the bracha of having geshem in the world, was not given over to any other shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chavodu v'atzmo gives us the Geshem. K'divrei Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara, Gilma mafteches b'yadu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, everything we have in life is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there are three things that He does on His own, like we say in the Seder, like we say in the Haggadah, lo ayidei shliach, lo ayidei malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it Himself, so too over here, says the Ritva, quoting a Gemara, that there are three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does on His own. One of them is Mafteach Shel Geshamim, that Hashem didn't give over the power of Geshamim to anybody else. Rabbi Feiner always likes to quote that before the coronation of the Queen in England, anybody who's heard this from him before? I don't know, I was always very intrigued by this fun fact that Rabbi Feiner says over, that before the coronation of the Queen in England, they have a big ceremony, so they did research for months and months to figure out what is the least likelihood of a day that it's going to be raining in England. So they did a whole study, and they came up with June, whatever it was, June 14th, I forgot the story, and they decided that's when they were going to have the coronation for Queen Elizabeth. And then, as it turned out, it was pouring cats and dogs, a storm that they have never had anything the likes of in England. And that was a simon min hashamayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks, you think you run the world, I have the mafteach shel ha-geshamim. You can't play games, the geshem is not something that was nimsar b'yad anybody else. Hashem is the one who runs the world, and Hashem is the one who takes care of the geshem. So that's number one. Mafteach shel chaya is the second thing. We know there are many people, unfortunately, who suffer with infertility. And that's what the Gemara says over here, that's what the Ritva is quoting from Rabbi Yochanan, that Mafteach Shel Chaya, the bracha of having children, is something that was not given over to anybody else. It's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself either provides or takes away from us. It's something that no one else has any jurisdiction over. Mafteach Shel Tchiyas HaMeisim. The third thing is obviously the Mafteach of Tchiyas HaMeisim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself is going to have to be Mechai the Meisim. I, the Mefarshim, asked, don't we know that over the different Gemaras, over the different eras in the times of the Gemara, there were many Amoraim who did Tchiyas HaMeisim here and there. The Gemara tells us all sorts of stories that they were Mechaya somebody who, for some reason, died. Like the Gemara, just for one example, has a Megillah where Reb Zera B'Shachat, they were having a Purim suit and he went and he killed somebody else accidentally, but basically that's what happened. And then it says that they're Mispalel and he came back alive. So you see that there is such a concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim, so you need some explanation how to understand those Gemaras. But basically, the simple understanding is, there are only three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does b'chvodu v'atzmo, He doesn't give it over to anybody else to do, and one of those is Geshem. So therefore, what? So what? So still, why is it called Gevuras Geshamim? So, says the Ritva as follows, v'kavu b'tchiyas ha-meisim. Why do we say Gevuras Geshamim? Why do we say Mashav Aruach in the first Bracha Shemona Esrei? It doesn't fit there. L'fi sheshkla meisim, says the Ritva, because Mashav Aruach, the power of rain is the same as Tchiyas HaMeisim. How? So the Ritva explains, Shehu inyan domelo, Shehazroim nikvarim tachas akark. Because the seeds are planted underneath the ground, then they rot, and they spoil, and everybody forgets about them. But somchem al yidei ha-geshamim, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a Tchiyas HaMeisim. You have this little seed, came from a little nothing, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the seed turns into a plant, turns into a tree. The Yotzim Mekama Levushim, and it turns out sometimes you have a tree that comes out looking like this, sometimes you have a tree looking like that. That's mamish the same as Tchiyas HaMeisim. Everybody's dead, everybody's finished, we think life is over, and all of a sudden out of nowhere HaKadosh Baruch Hu spits life back into us, and He puts us back into the world. Says the Ritva, Gam Kein L'Raya Al Tchiyas HaMeisim. When we see the trees, when we see that phenomenon happening in the world, it's for us to remind ourselves that sometimes we question whether or not there's a possibility of Tchiyas HaMeisim. How could it be? How's it possible? Somebody died. How could it be that there's ever going to be a Tchiyas HaMeisim? The answer is, says the Ritva, when we remind ourselves that there is such a concept of a Tchiyas HaMeisim that happens in front of our eyes every day, when we watch that tree sprout out of the ground, when we thought it was a dead seed and nothing coming out of it, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts life into it, so too that should make us believe as well that there is a concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim, and that's something that really is going to happen, the same way we see that all of the ground sprouts trees all the time and throughout our lives. V'gam, says the Ritva, Shebnei Adam kisha gishamim netzarim umezonoseyam nimnaim, when Parnas is not going so well, when the rain is not falling the way we expected it to, heim nechshavim lemesim. The Ritva is saying very practically, we're considered like dead people when we don't have a good Parnasa. You ever see somebody who's suffering, who doesn't have a good Parnasa, and they can't put it together? And every day, each day is worse than the next. Why is that? He says we consider ourselves like mesim. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a quick turn of events, and he will give the person a parnasa once again, and he'll put his life back on track, and that is like a Tchiyas HaMeisim. This is a very interesting ritva, just to put it in perspective. When we say Mashav Aruach each and every day in our Shemana Esrei, what is it doing in the first Baruch of Shemana Esrei? Why is it by Tchiyas HaMeisim? So ritva reminds us that we're supposed to be thinking of two different inyanim. Number one, we're supposed to remind ourselves that sometimes when we question in our own minds, we doubt the fact that there is going to be a Tchiyas HaMeisim, don't worry about how that's going to be. Because we already see the same phenomenon taking place right in front of our eyes each and every day. We see that things are growing out of the ground even though it doesn't make any sense. So too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring forth the Tchiyas HaMeisim out of nowhere when we think there's no more hope. And secondly, says the Ritva, a person should reassure himself as well that even sometimes when you think all is dreary, all is bleak, and we think life is terrible, and we think there's nothing left, no hope for us anymore, says the Ritva, that's a time for us to remind ourselves of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also will come and be Mechaya us, he'll give us back a Parnasa, he'll give us back what we need in life. And that's just a very interesting Ritva, something to think about when we are Mespalel each and every day Mashav Aruch. In fact, the Vilna Gaon writes in the Kol LeYom Parshas Tetzaveh, we have a pasuk that says, if Hitachta Alav Pituchei Chosam Kodesh LaHashem, says the Vilna Gaon, what does it mean? If Hitachta Alav Pituchei Chosam Kodesh LaHashem, obviously the simple reading of the pasuk is that on the Ephod, you have to put Kodesh LaHashem. I'm sorry, on the Tzitz, you have to put Kodesh LaHashem. But over here, the Vilna Gaon says, if you read the word carefully, the word Chosam is a Rashi Tevis for Chaya, Tchia, and Matar. Says the Vilna Gaon, there are three things that Rabbi Yochanan told us, what the Ritva just quoted, that are not given over to anybody else. That's Kodesh LaHashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself provides these three things. Chosam is Kodesh LaHashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gives us the Chaya, the woman who gives birth. He gives that blessing on his own. Tchia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the Tchias HaMeisim, gives us that opportunity even after we think that life is over. And Matar, he gives us the rain. That, says the Vilna Gaon, is what it means, that those three things are Kodesh LaHashem because they're untainted. It's something that's not given over to a shliach, not to a malach, not to us, not to anybody. That's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself provides for us. So the Torah picks up on this also in Siman Kuf Yudalid, but that's basically the beautiful remez that the Vilna Gaon has when he talks about these three maftechas that were not handed over. There's a very nice piece in the Lev Eliyahu that is Rebbe Eliyahu Lapyan. I just put it on here because I think it's kedai to read together at least once in our lives. So the Lev Eliyahu writes in his beautiful Sefer, which is a Musar Sefer, three volumes on Chumash. So over here the Lev Eliyahu writes regarding Mashav Aruach, regarding the Geshem. V'haklal tira, he says, you look around in the world and you'll notice that the rule generally is Shakol davar hanitzrach lekiyum kol ha'olam. When you have something that the whole world needs, for example, sun, a solar system, so that's something that all of us need. He said, Sham tira seder vidiuk gadol. When you look at the solar system and you look at the sun, you could plan out for the next 50 years exactly how it's going to happen. Hillel already made our calendar so many thousands of years ago. How do you do it? Because it's precise, it's exact, things don't change, they're exactly the way they're supposed to be. Asher tucha lasos cheshbam b'mishtaro b'nziyuso mahalcho l'zmanim aruchim v'afladoros. Says Alev Eliyahu Rebbe Lapyan, he writes that we can plan out for Dorei Doris. Hillel HaZaken was able to make a calendar for thousands of years ahead of his time. How's it possible? Because we know that something that's Nitzrach L'Kiyum HaOlam, something that's necessary for everybody to live life in proper fashion, is already given in a very precise way. Vim Kain, and therefore he says, if that's really the case in life, Nishah Sheila, we have to ask ourselves, Hariyah Gishamin Vahamatar Zakukim Livnei Adam Lahem Ma'od Ma'od. We know that we can't live in the world without rain. We can't have any industries. We can't have any life without rain. We all know that we need rain. It's a staple of life. V'chalachayim Tuluyim Bahem. Our whole lives are dependent on whether or not we're going to have rain that's given to us. Ki ilu hayu aksham natsaram shana achashana. Maybe we can live 1 year without rain because we have reservoirs and we have rain that's saved up from the last time, from all the hurricanes, from all the storms. But over here, what's going to be if year after year after year we're not going to be given the blessing of rain? Hayanasa rav olam, we would all die from a famine, from hunger. It's impossible to keep going like that. V'chal abruim ha'anashim ha'chayis ha'be'emes ha'ofis v'ashrotim ha'ramasim. Kol bali ha'chayim ha'ipigarim esim. We would all not be able to continue to live if not for the fact that we had rain. Uvatul yeshuva shalolam im kain. And if that really is the case, says Rabbi Elapian, ma'atam she'b'chol davar asher nitzrach ha'olam ha'biyoser. Why is it that in every other thing that you think about, something that the world needs, something that the world cannot exist without, hinhigu HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'seder v'mishter b'yoser, Hashem has a very careful calculation, and it's done with a seder, with a precision, that we can already predict exactly what's going to happen with the sun and how early the sun's going to come up and how late it's going to set. But over here, k'moshen hisbar l'mayla v'lo ya'ar b'shum ofen al piderach ha'teva sha'ashemesh lo tizrach ba'boker. That would never happen. It's never happened that the sun doesn't rise in the morning. O lo tishka ba'er, that the sun doesn't go down. V'chein alavana v'akochav ma'amazolus b'kviyusam. Never, we never have it that the moon or the solar system is off of track. It never happens. V'chein b'tzmichas hazriya ba'aretz lo timtza shim yavdu b'sadek haroi v'yashkena. Set to shakesh, we never find that you plan something and you have all the perfect conditions and you have the sun and you have the rain and everything's gone exactly perfectly. When do we ever find that the tree doesn't grow? That doesn't happen. Sometimes it doesn't grow because it gets flooded or because you didn't do it properly. But if you do everything in the perfect conditions, it works. So why is it over here? V'ilu agshamim ein anu ro'im b'hem shum seder. How come we cannot predict the rain? You go on the news and you look and you want to know what's the weather forecast about rain. They're always wrong. They're almost always wrong. They can't really say with a precision what's going to happen. Why is that? How come when they talk about what time shkia is and what time zricha is in the morning, they don't say, oh, well, we're not sure. Maybe it's going to be 5:52. Maybe it's going to be 6 o'clock. They don't know exactly what time it's going to be. How come when it comes to rain, they're only able to say a 90% chance of rain, 80% chance of rain? They don't really know how to predict it accurately. Yeshana shchuna v'yeshana gshuma. Sometimes we have years that are years of drought, and sometimes we have years which are years of plenty. V'chein ba'os hashana atzma. Sometimes even in the same year, when we think everything's going well and we think we have everything we need, l'famim yardim agsham b'rivia rishona. Sometimes it comes in the first quarter of the first semester. Sometimes it comes b'shnia. V'yesh hashem esachim har b'yoser. Sometimes it comes even later. V'chein lahepoch. V'gam b'hapsakim she'enim t'midim. Pam hafsegola, pam hafsekotan. Sometimes we could wait a few weeks in between rainstorms. What's going on here? And v'chazal matzinu kamu pamim shlo yardu gishamim v'hisanu. We find many times in the Gemara in Tainis that they used to make public fast days because it wasn't raining properly. Uma tam yesh bazeh she nishtanu hagishamim mikol seder olam halo davar. So it's a little bit of a lengthy question, but his question is very glaring. Why is it that when it comes to the Geshamim, when it comes to the Mashiva Ruach, we don't have a Seder? We cannot predict, and it's just not precise. Why is that? Why shouldn't it be with the same precision that everything else in the world runs? Aval Hatam Hadabrahu Adirab. Says Rabbi Yelapian, the reason I believe why this is the case when it comes to rain is Gufa, because the rain is so important. It's precisely for that reason. Dam Ipnesha Kol Kiyom Ha'olam Tali Biridas HaGeshamim. Because the whole world cannot exist without rain, Heiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davar Zeh below Seder Kavua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically left this out of his precise world that he runs. Kedei sheyizkeru b'nei adam v'lo yishkechu, so that we will always have a reminder and we will never ever forget in our entire lives. Ki hakol tali b'yad Hashem Yizbarach. That everything we have in our lives is only because God has bestowed it upon us. It's not because it's precise and this is the way the world runs and this is what happens. If you don't deserve it, you will not get it. And that is precisely why HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the rain, of all things in the world, the rain is the one phenomenon that just does not have a precision. It's something that you cannot predict. Kakosuv, like the Pasuk says, Imuchu kosai telechu v'nasati gishmecham be'itam. The Pasuk says explicitly, if you listen to the Torah mitzvahs, then I'll give you rain. Why don't you say, if you listen to the Torah mitzvahs, I'll make you rich, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll make you a Talmud Chacham. Why not Why does it say, I'll give you the rain? Because the rain is so fundamentally important to our world. V'chein kasav in Devarim, the Pasuk says as well, M'shamah tishma el mitzvosai v'nasati mitar artzachem b'ito yorim malkosh, what we say in Kriyashma, v'chein kasav lehepach, hisham alachem penifta levavchem. U'memela, the last line, ha'aretz losite nivula ki hazriya tishar betan ha'adama, says Rabbi Yelapian, the reason why the rain is not predictable at all to us, the reason why there's no precision when it comes to the rain is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send us a constant reminder when you think that you have it all figured out, I'm coming to show you that the one thing that you need more than anything else is something you'll never be able to figure out.
Why does he specify Israel here when he's filling the world in?
What do you mean? Where?
When he goes to the last sentence, he says Israel, Yasu Israel, so no, you're Ridlan Matar.
Well, it seems, you know.
I mean, do we say the rest of the world is, we don't say it's, you know, in other words, we don't, yeah, we have, there's a more direct Ashkaka, we know the need every year, we know the needs in Eretz Israel online, but it's a worldwide need, and as you say, it's unpredictable. Worldwide, not just unpredictable in Eretz Israel. So why would you extrapolate that to a greater?
Right, so don't we assume that greater? A lot of, I mean, I think a lot of times the Christians have blamed the Jews for being responsible for certain calamities that happen in the world, and the answer is they're right. That we are the ones who judge the world, we are the ones who HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines whether or not he's going to give bracha to the world, and that's why over here as well, when it comes to Geshamim.
In other words, if there's a drought in Thailand, which affects exports of rice to Asia, not to Israel, right? Is that because our tefillahs were not...
That's what it would seem.
Right.
That's what it would seem.
No, it doesn't appear.
And who knows how many Jews are, you know, are involved in the import-export over there. I wouldn't doubt it.
I'd say just extrapolate.
I think so.
Like
I think that's what we assume. That's what the Pasuk says. When Asmati Gishmecha Be'itam, right, it says that, I think that's the way we assume. So anyway, so this is again just... This is following up. I thought it was appropriate.
You would think the punishment would come more direct than this. In other words, we don't see that punishment if it's affecting local trade between Thailand and Vietnam.
Right.
We don't see that.
Yeah, so the Bali Machshava read a very important yisod. The Bali Machshava quote from some Rishonim already, if I'm not mistaken. They write that, let's say, Rahman al-Itzlan, somebody passes away in a family. So not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a cheshbon that this person, let's say you have a tragic death, not only did Hashem take into account that this person, for whatever reason, deserves to die, whatever, he's going to take him because he's a big tzaddik, and we're going to save thousands of other lives, whatever it is. But when making that decision, HaKadosh Baruch Hu figured out all of the ripple effects that are going to happen because of it as well. Look how much Agmas Nefesh the family is going to have, and they deserve every bit of that. It's hard for us to understand why, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes all of that into account. And I think, perhaps when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a klala to a certain part of the world and not to another, it could be that we have certain schusim that, for some reason, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels he needs to give a klala because that's where we're holding, maybe he doesn't feel that it needs to be given on this particular community because the ripple effect on that community is going to be something that they don't deserve. So it could be you have to think about it in that light, that maybe that's why sometimes they're sent to other places in the world, because it's not always that the ripple effect of the disaster is deserving to the level on which we're holding. So I think this is just a beautiful... Right, I'm saying you have to...
We don't say it's Talmud, is that
right? Yeah, you have to...
Right, but it's not always... And again, it doesn't necessarily work for us to give us the proper Muslim.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
Not always. Right, okay. But I just thought this was a very nice point, following up on what the Ritva writes, that... The Geshamim, the Gevuras Geshamim, the reason why it's called Gevura is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us His power. When He gives us the Geshamim, it's something that He doesn't hand over to anybody else. Lo Yidei Malach, Lo Yidei Shliach. It's one of the things, like the Vilna Gaon writes, quoting the Gemara as well, it's the Chosam. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. It's Kodesh Lashem. It's something that's untainted. It's given only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. And it's not something that goes with any intermediary. So let's move.
Why is it incorporated into the Brother year round? I mean, it's amazing when
So we're going to get to that. Thank you. Just hold on to that. We're going to get to that a little bit later in the shiur.
I'm sorry to stay on the same point. Twos of a non-Jew.
When
they know of, related to Geshem.
Ki beis tefila yikar lechal ha'amim. We do believe that there's such an institution of tefila for a non-Jew.
So again, go back to the question specifically in any locale. So if they're davening for a rain, in theory, it should also affect for that, and that's
He's saying, how does that work in with our...
Yeah, how does all the... Right. Uh-huh. I mean, again, we don't know these questions.
Yeah.
Tonight.
I'm willing to not sure. That yeah, I don't know. I'm willing to say I don't know. How do you like that? So let's move on. So the Gemara has, in the beginning of Maseches Tainus, I wasn't planning on pointing this out. I was just going to read the Mishnah. Then today I saw Mamash Lemos Geshmaka Ha'ara from Reb Chaim Berlin, the son of the Netziv. Mm-hmm. We had to get into this. It's just too Geshmak. I couldn't leave it alone. So the Gemara says in Tainus like this. This is the opening Mishnah Maseches Tainus Beis Amud Aleph Zaktig Mishnah as follows. Me'ei Masayim Azkirin Gevuras Gesham. So to us, it's obvious. We know the answer is we start to say Masha Veruach on Shmini Atzeres, and then from then on till Pesach, we say Masha Veruach. But the Gemara is not sure. When do we recite Masha Veruach? When do we start saying it? Now, why is it so obvious to the Gemara that we begin saying Masha Veruach now? What do you mean? We have rain all year long. Why don't we say Masha Veruach all year? Answer is because it's based on Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael now is the rainy season. So therefore, the Gemara assumes we're certainly going to begin saying Masha Veruach only in the rainy season. But the question is, when do we begin it? Do we begin it on the first day of Sukkot? Or perhaps we begin it on the last day of Sukkot? Zok the Mishnah as follows. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Tzemachlekes HaTanoim, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion, Miyam Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. Right now we're in the rainy season. Chag HaAsif. Now is the time to gather in our fruits. Now is the time to gather everything in. And now... Am I making a mistake?
No.
Chag HaAsif. And now is the time that... Now is the time that we need the rain. Now is the time that we're planting, that we're doing everything, and now is the rainy season. So says Rabbi Lezer, Mi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, we should begin to say Masha Veruach right away the first day of Yom Tov. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and he says, no, Mi Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says back to Rabbi Lezer, you, Rabbi Lezer, think we should say already Masha Veruach from the first day of Sukkot. How can you say such a thing? Ho, ve'ein ha-gishamim ela simin klala b'chag. To have rain falling on Sukkot is a simin klala. Lama hu mazkir. Why should we begin to say Masha Veruach on the first day of Sukkot? What do you mean? If it rains on the first day of Sukkot, it's Simen Klala. So why should we begin then? Therefore, Zakhtar Yeshua, we should only begin to say it on the last day, on Shmini Atzeres, on Simchas Torah, and then, when we have no more issue of having a Simen Klala, then we're allowed to say it. Now, Stam, the Leif Sameh, the Leif Simcha from Ger, said from one of his sons-in-law, that, a Chassidish of art, when the Gemara says over here, Einik Shammel, a Simen Klala B'chag, he said, somebody who thinks about his gashmias on Sukkis. Somebody who thinks about his gshamim on Sukkis, that's a simen klala b'chag. Someone who thinks about that and his focus is not on Yerushamayim, it's not on going to the Diras Arai, it's not about thinking about what we're supposed to be focused on Sukkis, that's a simen klala, then you miss the boat, you miss the whole Sukkis. So that's stam a nice vart, you can keep it in your back pocket for next Sukkis. Doesn't really help us now, but it's a nice vart anyway. So then, the problem is as follows. Problem is like this. The Mishnah says in Sukkot Av Chav Ches Amud Beis. What does Rabbi Shua mean when he asks Rabbi Lazar, how can we begin to say Masha Veruach on the first day of Sukkis? Ay, it's a simen klala. So what's he asking? So obviously what he's saying is based on the Mishnah and Sukkot Av Chav Ches Amud Beis. Zok the Mishnah as follows. Kol Shivas Hayamim Adam Moses Sukkasu Kevo Beis Arai. All the 7 days of Sukkis, a person has to leave his house and go into the Sukkah. Yordu Geshamim, says the Mishnah. What happens if it begins to rain while I'm sitting in my Sukkah? Me'emasai Muta Lefanos. When am I allowed to leave and go eat my meal inside? Says the Mishnah, Misa Tisra Hamikafa. When the soup begins to get ruined from the rain or from things that are falling in, then we assume you're allowed to go sit inside. Mashlu Mashal Amadavar Doma, a famous mashal that the Mishnah gives to a person who's trying to sit in Sukkah, who's trying to be Mekayim the Mitzvah the way he's supposed to. Levit Shabal Limzo Kos the Rabbah, like somebody who comes to serve the master. I come and I bring the cup of wine to the master. V'shavach lo kiton apanav, and then the master comes and throws the bottle of wine back in my face. Obviously, he's not happy with what I'm doing. So Sotu says the Mishnah. Here I am, I go out of my way to go and have a sukkah. And I go out of my way to set the table and to do everything the way I'm supposed to. And right away, I go to sit in my sukkah and it starts raining. So obviously, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want my mitzvah. He doesn't want to do what I'm performing for him. So that's what we have in the Gemara. Now that seems to be a simen klala. That's a terrible thing. So Rabbi Shua says, if the Mishnah tells us that it's a terrible thing for it to rain on Sukkis, so why should he begin to be mispala Masha Veruach Amar Dageshem for the first day of Sukkis? I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. It's a simen klala if it rains right now. So that's Rabbi Shua's kasha. The Rambam writes, interestingly enough, the Rambam writes on Maseches Sukkah Daf Chav Ches over there, the Rambam writes on that Mishnah a very big chiddush. When do you assume it's a simen klala for it to rain on Sukkis? Says the Rambam, only on the first day. Where does he get that from? Not clear. Seems to be a chiddush of the Rambam. And it's really unclear where the Rambam gets this from. In fact, one of the Ger Rebbes, they say also one of the Ger Rebbes was medayik that that the Rambam is correct, because he says that it says over here, Mashlu Mashal Amad Over Doma. We give a mashal. What does it mean when we say, like a person who sits in sukkah and it starts raining on the soup? So what's the mashal it gives? It says, Le'evid Shabalim Zokos L'Rabo. An Evid comes to serve his master, and he approaches the master, Shabbat. He comes right away to serve the master, and the master throws it back at him right away before he even has a chance. So said the Ger Rebbe, from the fact that Gemara says Shabbat, it's like right now, I just walked into the sukkah. I'm about to start my Yom Tov experience, and right away, you don't even allow me to eat my first meal in the sukkah. So he says, that's a diuk perhaps in the Gemara, that the Rambam is correct, that it means, right away when you start to have your meal, that is when it's considered a siman klali. You're having your first meal in the sukkah, and already it's raining, I can't even begin. Shabbat, Evet Shabbat, he walks in, he approaches the master, you don't even give me a chance to open my mouth to say anything, so that's when it's a siman klali. But the problem is like this. The problem is, when you think about the Rambam's pshat in the Gemara, what does the Rambam say? Rambam says the only time that we consider it a siman klala is on the first day of Sukkot. So here's the problem. What does our Gemara have in Tainis Daf Beis Amud Aleph? Machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Elazar says, when do we start saying Mashav Ruach? First day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua says, when do you start saying Mashav Ruach? Last day of Sukkot. Why? Because it's a siman klala to have rain on Sukkot. So how can you say we begin on the first day? But if the Rambam says it's only a siman klala on the first day of Sukkot, so Rabbi Yeshua should say, first day Chol HaMoed, let's start saying Mashav Ruach. Shmak HaKasha. How does the Rambam explain the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chaf Ches? How does the Rambam say that it's only a siman klala if it rains on the first day of Sukkot? And how do you understand the Machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua and our Gemara here in Tainis Daf Beis? Doesn't make any sense. Is that clear?
Yeah.
So it's an amazing kasha. What? So the kasha is like this. We have a Machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua. When do you begin to say Mashav Ruach? Rabbi Elazar says you begin first day. Rabbi Yeshua says last day. Why does Rabbi Yeshua say the last day? Because he says it's a siman klala if you're going to do it at the beginning. But if the Rambam says the only siman klala is the first day of Sukkot, so then even according to Rabbi Yeshua, why don't you say it on the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot? It's not a siman klala anymore. So this is a kasha that's already found in the Ritva. Mm-hmm. It's not a kasha of the Achronim. What?
Does Rabbi Yeshua say that the Shemini Atzeres is Yom HaDin for rain or something? He says Yom HaDin. We say
right. B'chag Nidonim Al HaMayim.
Yeah. Which is Shemini Atzeres.
Okay. I mean, it's the whole.
It's the whole
Yom Tov of Sukkot, yeah. And that's why we take the Dalet Minim, because it's G'day Lam Alamayim, supposed to be a S'chus. Right, but even so, if it's only a Siman Klala on the first day, so then why don't we start after the first day? You still have the mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah. But that's not what the Rambam says. That's not what the Rambam says. No, the kasha is, if the Rambam is correct, before the Rambam I would have said the Gemara means, like you're saying, you're right. Before I read the Rambam I would have said, it's a siman klala to rain at all on Sukkot. I'm supposed to sit in the Sukkah, I can't do my mitzvah. It's a siman klala, obviously God doesn't want me to sit in the Sukkah, He doesn't want my mitzvahs. But the Rambam's coming up with a chiddush. The Rambam says, the only time it's a siman klala is on the first night. So if you learn like the Rambam, how do you understand Rabbi Yeshua? Doesn't make any sense. Oh, so let's look as follows. Look at this. Mamasha Maru de Gevard, I just saw this today. In the Shadus Hachuvah's Nishmas Chaim by Reb Chaim Berlin. He's the son of the Netziv. So look, let's read as follows. Look like this. This is Mamasha Maru de Gevard. This will put together a lot of the questions that we have now. Listen to this pshat. Matzasi b'chadushi haritva zakh Reb Chaim Berlin as follows. Everyone can look along. It's on number Vav. Matzasi b'chadushi haritva l'maseches tainis b'mishna kamaisa. The Ritva has on this Mishnah daf Beis Amud Aleph as follows. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua. Ho ve'en ha'gsham simen bracha b'chag. Lama hu mazkir? Mikan mashma. Dal kol ha'chag ka'amar. Zok the Ritva. I don't learn like the Rambam. I don't learn like the Rambam who says that it's only simen klal on the first night. I learn like the Pashtus. From the fact that Rabbi Yeshua says over here that we cannot recite Mashav Ruach the entire Yom Tov of Sukkot, it must be, says the Ritva, that it's a siman klala on any day of Sukkot if you're going to go ahead and have rain coming down and stopping me from doing my mitzvah. V'lo al halayla rishon avavat. So the Ritva openly disagrees with the Rambam, mm-hmm. And if you learn like the Ritva, which is the Pashtus, it's the way we would have learned, so if you learn like the Ritva, there's no kasha. The Gemara makes sense, the Gemara in Sukkah makes sense, everything's good. But here's the problem. Says Reb Chaim Berlin. How are we going to understand, according to the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos who disagrees with the Ritva, how are we going to understand this Gemara of Rabbi Yeshua over here. So he says like this, it's such an amazing word. Rabbi Yeshua ledvar of Sher Belazar Kamar. Listen to this beautiful chap. He says Rabbi Yeshua is talking ledvar of Rabbi Elazar Kamar. Not that I agree with this, but I'm saying, l'shitascha, you Rabbi Elazar, how can you say that we begin on the first day of Sukkot? According to you, I have a problem. Why? To Savar, because Rabbi Elazar is the one who says in Sukkot, Daf Chav Zayin Amin Aleph, the Yud Dalet Sudas Chayiv on the Melech B'Sukkah. Echa B'Yam Echa B'Layla. There's a machlokes in the Gemara in Sukkah. How many meals do you have to eat on the Yom Tov of Sukkot? Rabbi Elazar says every single day, it says, B'Samachta B'Chagecha. You have a chiyuv to eat one meal in the morning, one meal at night. Every day in the Sukkah, two meals. So he says, according to you, that you have a chiyuv to eat two meals each and every day of Sukkot, in Cain, Harei Kol Yimei HaSukkah Kalai L'Rishon? According to you, Rabbi Elazar, that you have a chiyuv each and every day to eat one meal in the morning, one meal at night, so then why should there be a difference between the first night and the rest of the days? How can you begin to recite Mashiv HaRuach if you hold that the whole Sukkot, you have to sit in the Sukkah and eat? That's the kasher Rabbi Yeshua is asking, is only L'shitas Rabbi Elazar. Mishum hachi shapir hiksh Rabbi Yeshua l'Rabbi Elazar. Lidvaracha, l'shitascha, you Rabbi Elazar. Halo ena b'sham elasim en klala b'chol yimei achag v'im kein lamhu maskir. What an amazing shot in the Gemara. Aval l'fimai d'kaim elon. Now says Rabbi Chaim Berlin, according to the way we paskin halacha l'maisa the kol shivas yam mi bay yachal li bay lo yachil. We don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar. We paskin only the first day you have to eat. And after that, you're not mechuyev to eat. You can eat crackers, you can eat little things. You don't have to eat in the sukkah. Shapir kasav Rambam zal da'ach b'tchilas ha-sukkah hu remeshen HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekabel maaseh b'ratzon chas v'shalom. The Rambam's saying, we paskin la'alacha that you're only chuyev to eat in the sukkah is the first day. If that's correct, so then the only siman klala, if it rains, is on the first day. If it rains on the second day, the third day, you have no chuyev to eat in the sukkah anyway. You have no chuyev to have a meal. If you have no chuyev to have a meal, so then there's no siman klala. So the Rambam is saying, Aliba de halacha. And Rabbi Shua in our Mishnah is only asking according to Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Is this clear?
Yes.
I think it's an amazing pshat. Let's just finish reading. Avol, v'chayim ha'asukah shapir lahabi siman klala. This is what Rabbi Chaim Berlin writes in order to be miyashiv the Mishnah in the first daf in Tainus with the shita of the Rambam that the siman klala is only on the first day of Yom Tov. That the Rambam is saying the only time it's a klala is the first day because we paskin. The only time you have to have a suda inside of the sukkah is the first day of Sukkot. So only if it rains on the first day when you have to eat in there, then we consider it a klala. But the rest of Yom Tov where we hold that you don't have to sit in the sukkah and eat a meal mechiyuv, you don't have a chiyuv to eat. So then he says, there's no siman klala. So then just... What? What about Rabbi Elazar?
The question was,
huh? Yeah.
The question is, if you hold back up, you only eat the first day. You only eat the first day.
Yeah.
But with Rabbi Elazar, you just said that he holds the Yom Tov 14 meals.
That's the kasha. That's exactly what Rabbi Shua was asking. Rabbi Shua was asking, according to you, that you have to have 14 meals. How can you start asking on the first day? It doesn't make sense. Rabbi Shua says, according to us, that we hold you only need the first day, it's fine. You can start asking on the first day, but according to you... So now listen to this. Let's just finish up with this. That there's another Tshuva Sefer where they quote from Reb Chaim Berlin. Another Vart where he continued this and he says in this Sefer they write that he had a whole conversation with the Avnei Nezer about this with the Sachet Shavar Rebbe. It's a very geshmaka discussion. But basically he writes, "V'chol zeh, even though my teretz seems to be very nice, lo nana mimedu, I have to give, you know, intellectual honesty. I have to be honest about the pitfall, the problem with this pshat. No nana mimedu, she yishav zeh, eno elo dochik." You can't really say this pshat. Why? The following. Tell me, kol malkum yikshe. Ha-e-amar shalo ishen gimel yamin malkan osot. The Gemara has an adar. Let's say a person takes a nether, I'm not going to sleep for the next 3 days. So it says, malkan osot miyad, we give him malkus right away. Why do we give him malkus? Because it's impossible. You can't stay up for 3 days straight. So you made a shvuah shug. You're swearing on God's name, and you're swearing to do something that's impossible. So why wait till the end of 3 days? We'll give you malkus right now. What do you see from that Gemara? What you see is it's impossible to stay awake for 3 days. So therefore, he says, if we have a Yom Tov of Sukkot, which is 7 days long, you're right, we have a machlokas in the Gemara where they have to eat 14 sudas in the Sukkah or only one suda in the beginning of Yom Tov. But either way, everybody agrees that there's a chiyuv to sleep in the Sukkah all the 7 days of Sukkot. So says Reb Chaim Berlin. So if I'm going to bring my bed into the Sukkah, I'm about to go to sleep and be mekayim my mitzvah on Cholamoid Sukkot. And it starts to, you know, drizzle, starts to rain, and I have to bring my bed inside. I can't sleep.
You can sleep for short periods of time, many times, and not call it a real sleep. That's
Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting. It's interesting. It's interesting. So he, so Reb Chaim Berlin points out, my teretz is very sharp, it's very nice, but when you think about it, it still doesn't work. Because since we have a chiv to sit in the sukkah anyway, because we need to sleep in it, and you can't go all 7 days of sukkahs without sleeping, so then if it rains at any point on sukkahs, and it's going to stop me from sleeping in the sukkah,
then it will be
a siman klala, according to everybody.
What about the mitzvah that you should eat in the sukkah?
What do you mean? If you eat peiros or... Yeah.
It's not a chiv, you have to have sukkahs.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, you, don't.
You can have peyros. You can have
the whole
fruits.
You
can have a piece of meat. You can have some.
Only the first day.
First day? Yeah.
Only the rest of the yom after.
You can have buser, but buser you can have chutz sukkah also. What? Shabbos is the first day. Whatever.
You don't have to wash it.
And get around it. So it's this. I found this very fascinating, this whole discussion of Reb Chaim Berlin to try to be miyasher the Das HaRambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos and Sukkah and try to explain it with this Gemara and Tainus. To me, this was very, very fascinating, very interesting. And it's just something to think about. If you learn like the Rambam, how do you explain what's going on here in the first Mishnah and Tainus that we discussed? How do you explain the Machlokes, Reb Elazar and Reb Yeshua? Okay, so let's move on a little bit. Any other questions? So let's just move on a little bit and then we'll close. It's already almost 9 o'clock. So either way, so the Yerushalmi writes in Maseches Tainus, we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua that we only begin to say Masha Varuach on the last day of Yom Tov. We only begin on Shmini Atzeres. Says the Yerushalmi, why don't we already start Balayla? Why don't you start the night of Shmini Atzeres? Why don't we start in the morning? So Yerushalmi says, you know why? Oh, what? Because people don't come to shul at night. You know, it's raining outside, it's dark, I don't want to go to shul at night. Shachar is, who's going to miss the rabbi's drasha? Impossible. So the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi tells us that everybody comes to shul in the morning, nobody comes to shul at night, so therefore, not everyone's going to know that we had the tefillas geshem already. Everyone's going to make a mistake, so forget it, we're not going to have it at night. So the night is out. Says the Yerushalmi, so why don't we start Shachar's? Why don't we start at Shachar's?
Why
don't we wait till Musaf? Really, you should have started Balayla. You can't start Balayla because not everyone's in shul. So, Nu, why don't you do Shachar's? Oh, so I thought the answer is... No, so I would have said the answer is Shachar's, not everyone's there, people still piling in, whatever. By Musaf, everyone's there. It's not what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi assumes that Shachar's is 9 o'clock, everybody's there at 9 o'clock. What's the reason we can't do it Shachar's? I'll tell you why, Zakti Yerushalmi. Because you have to make an announcement, the Chazan has to get up and make an announcement, Mashav Ruach Amar Dageshem, and it's going to be a Hefzik. You can't get up right before Shemana Esrei and make a klap Mashav Ruach Amar Dageshem or say Yalav Yavo. It's a Hefzik Ben Gula L'Tfila. So Zakti Yerushalmi, it sounds like an Achrena Shavar, but the Yerushalmi says it. Zakti Yerushalmi, so I have no option. I can't do it in Ma'ariv because nobody's there. I can't do it in Shachar's because I can't be Mapsik, and the Chazan needs to make a klap right before Shemana Esrei. Otherwise, if he makes it before Brachas in the morning, no one's going to remember by the time we get to Shemana Esrei. So therefore, Zakti Yerushalmi, you know what we're going to do? We're going to say it at Musaf. And this way, by Musaf, you're allowed to be Mapsik. And now, once the whole tzibur decides at once that we're going to begin to say Masha Baruch, so now we have the right to say Masha Baruch. So this is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim. In Siman Kuf Yudalad, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's usur to say Masha Baruch Amar Dageshem before the Hachrazas Hashatz. Before the Shliach Tzibur, or the Gabbai gets up and says Masha Baruch Amar Dageshem, you cannot recite Masha Baruch. Why? Zakti Mechaber. Therefore, let's say, I can't come to shul, unfortunately, I'm a chola, I'm a zakin, whatever it is, I'm homebound. And I can't make it to shul on Shmini Atzeres. Or a woman is taking care of the children, but she wants to daven Shmona Esrei at home. So when should she say Masha Baruch? So everybody thinks, well, in Shachar's you don't say, and in Musaf you do say. That's not the case. Zakta Mechaber Beferish in Siman Kuf Yudalad in Aruch Haim, the Mechaber writes like this. What if I happen to be at home, and I didn't make it to shul? So he says the only time you can begin to say Masha Baruch is after the Hachrazas Hashatz. It's not a vard in Shachar's you don't say, and Musaf you do say. It's a vard in the Hachrazas Hashatz. We need the Shliach Tzibur, the Gabe, to get up and say, now we are beginning to say Masha Baruch. And only then... What do you mean? One sec. Right. So you say Marta Tel, or you don't say anything. Correct. Yeah.
If a person's homebound.
Yeah.
Says Marta Tel.
Shulchan Aruch says, until Mincha. No, till Mincha. till mincha, or until you know that the shot's already made the hachrozah.
Oh, so yeah.
Okay.
So
what do you mean?
So
very good point. That leads us right into our next point. The point was just made. What about the first minyan? The hashkama minyan already finished davening at 9. I only wake up at 9:30, so l'chara should be allowed to say it right away. Zok debir halacha. Listen to this. A pellet. It's a riddle. When is the one time a year you shouldn't have hashkama minyan? That's what he says. Pesach and Sukkot. Why not? Because here you're going to have two minyanim. And one gabbai already made the hachrozah at the 7 o'clock minyan that we're going to start saying Masha Baruch. Now you come to daven shachris by the 9 o'clock minyan and you don't know. What am I supposed to do? The gabbai already made an announcement by the early minyan that you should say Masha Baruch, but now we didn't make an announcement in our minyan. Zok debir halacha. Therefore on Sukkot and Pesach only one minyan. That's it. No 8 o'clock minyanim in the back of the shul. Right? That's what it says. Look, you're right. Zok debir halacha. Mistapakna. Im hispallu minyan vasikim bebeis haknesses. So listen. So mistapakna. Mispallu minyan vasikim bebeis haknesses zeh gufa. Let's say I have a minyan in this shul. We have a hashkama. We have a regular minyan. V'chrizu mashav v'ruach kenog. And I have the gabbai gets up at the hashkama minyan and he says mashav v'ruach and now they're ready to go. Im o'ela zeh leminyan sheni sheyeh mutu liyachad lahaktim. What do you say for the second minyan? I come into the late minyan. I'm not sure. What do I do? So the Mishnah Berurah is not sure. What? So let's read. So Zok the Mishnah Berurah. B'chein b'yom tov rishon shal Pesach, sha'adayin lo shamu me'hashat, she'pasek lama mashav v'ruach, l'shem shayla. Zok the bir halacha, im ba'osa beis haknesses espalo minyan rishon, u'kvar pasek hashat lama mashav v'ruach, he'emol shalo yitztachu shav lama mashav v'ruach v'tzarachin. Al-kein, Zok the bir halacha, bottom line, what do I suggest? Nireh, she'tov lehizar shalo lasos minyan rishon be'beis haknesses b'yom tov rishon shal Pesach or on Sukkot. A mamash apela. Mam shapela, zok debir halacha, and it's such a pella, it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The hashkama minyan has nothing to do with me. It's like it's a different shul. The people who daven hashkama daven there every week. I never daven with them. So it's like my tzibur, it's like my shul daven's over there. This shul daven's over here. I have nothing to do with those people. We're all members of the same shul. It's very nice, but we're totally different tzibur. When the gabbai makes an announcement in the hashkama, what does that have to do with me? I have nothing to do with the hashkama minyan. So therefore, my father is of the opinion that although the Mishnah Berurah is masupik about this, and Abshalom Kluger also has a suffix in one of his tshuvas as well. It's an interesting suffix that he has. What do you do, let's say, in the summer? We have three minyanim here, right? So you have a minyan that's Mekabel Shabbos. So what are you going to say? The next minyan is not allowed to daven mincha anymore? They have to daven a Shabbos to ask for mincha? How can you say such a thing? What are you? Every shul in the world, we're mekel, and we have three minyanim in the middle of the summer, and we don't care about this. We don't say, oh, once you're Mekabel Shabbos, then you're Mekabel for everybody. My tzibur is the early minyan. Your tzibur is the middle minyan. And the third guy's tzibur is the third minyan, the late minyan for Shabbos.
So when does the wife give?
So we assume...
the first minyan.
No, so the Teretz is the wife is Nigrar, probably after the Bnei Abayis, whenever the husband davens.
So minyan, her husband davens, right? Which she would decide when she would be able to...
Right.
I was told Mizra she would be on the Shabbos, so the husband said...
Oh no, he's asking about Masha Baruch. Yeah. So this is a very interesting point. The Bir Halacha has a suffix here. To me, it's very mechudish. My father told me today, when I was talking to him about this, he told me there of Gorelik in Yeshiva, who I think was a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, said he was very makpid in his shul, Sukkot and Pesach, no two minyanim, you know, everyone had to daven one minyan. My father said he never understood it. What do you mean? If I'm always a member of the early minyan, what does that have to do with the late minyan? It's mamash no shaychus. It doesn't make a difference. It's like a different shul, totally different shul. And haraya, when we were talking about it today, I said in the summer, everybody makes three minyanim for mincha mayer for Kabbalah Shabbos. And we don't say that once you have one minyan for Kabbalah Shabbos, then everybody else is not allowed to daven mincha. We don't assume like that. We assume that the people who daven at one minyan are one sefer, the people who daven at the second are a different sefer, and it doesn't...
It makes an issue about the haraza. You have to do haraza.
Right.
It's a very, very public thing.
We daven Ma'ariv, we say Baruch Hu, we say.
You bring something which could be interpreted. What happens two minyanim or three minyanim on the last Shabbos? That maybe the main minyan is really the minyan that's the last minyan. One that's the
problem.
The others are all Yechidim that got together. That's
The problem is, if you come here in the summer, the smallest minion is always the last one.
I grew up, but they only have the main minion, not the main number.
Right.
Had dominated the base members.
Yeah, you wish we were that organized here. It just depends how many people show up. They just take whatever shul they want.
I can't say for here, but I think he also brings up that where the Rav davens, that's the main minion.
Interesting.
In Elizabeth, like Tyson, one of the only davens, the late minion.
So that's what we're getting up to. So that's our last point. So that's our last point, and that's what we'll close with tonight. Why is it that we find over here by Mashav Ruach that you need a hachraza in order to begin saying Mashav? What's this all about? Where's the hachraza come from? Why can't you just say, okay, if today is the time for Gvuras Geshamim, so I'll begin to say, and even if I'm davening at home, so I'll start to say, in Musaf, what's the difference? Why do we need hachraza? Sir Rav Soloveitchik explained as follows. My father writes in one of the Svarim from the Rav, a very interesting insight. Why is it that by Talmater itself we don't have such a thing? Let's say Talmater, I'm a Zakin, I'm a Chayla, I'm an Isha, I'm not going to go to Shul to daven Ma'ariv on December 4th, December 5th, and whenever it is this year. So am I allowed to begin to say Talmater before the Tzibur does? Of course. Only Mashav Ruach, we have this halacha. You have to wait for the Hachraz of the Shliach Tzibur. Why? What's the difference between Mashav Ruach and Talmater? Which one? Yeah, you have to repeat Shemona Esrei. Yeah. Talmater? Yes. Yeah. Also. Also you have to repeat.
Maybe because it's the only halacha that exists that you start like in the middle of the day. You don't start the night before. Really, you should.
So it's confusing, you're saying.
What?
So it's confusing.
Yeah, we don't say it the night before because no one's
yeah.
at night. We don't say it in the morning.
Because I have sick.
Most people come, you know,
right.
So that's why they instituted saying that Musa, so their machmer is, mm-hmm. so you have to know that it's a beginning.
You've done it, and you talk it done differently in Bar Hashanah.
So you're going to get confused. It could be. It could be. It's a very practical point. That might be the reason, just because practically it's confusing what you're supposed to be doing. So you wait for the Achraza in order that he says the rules, the Gabbai says the rules. So if Soloveitchik said a little bit of a more lumdav shipshot here, and that is the following. Yeah.
Why did he take Achraza to Kaddish?
When? Many shuls do.
Before Baruch or something like that. You know,
I mean, we assume if you're going to make it then, they're not going to remember by the time we get to Shemoneh Esrei.
How
many times do we forget to say Yalav Yavo, even though they make an announcement right before we start? We still forget. So for sure. So that's a good question.
In other words, you know, like lechem, we say
yeah.
salt, and different things
that
that's not called
that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I mean, that's what the Yerushalmi writes. The Yerushalmi writes, it can't be mopsi, gula tefillah. It's interesting. It's a good point. So this is the kasha. So what's the difference between talamutter on the one hand, where you don't have to wait for the hachraza, and mashav ruach on the other hand? So explain Rav Soloveitchik as follows. There's a fundamental difference between talamutter and mashav ruach. What's the difference? One is in Gvuras Geshamim, one is in the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and one is in the middle of the bakashas. What's the difference? The first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei are tiurim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're giving a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say, he's a samech noflim, he's a rofei cholim, he's a mater asurim, he's a machaya mesim. That's our description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we add in, he's also a mashav ruach, a merad hageshem. When we say the same talamater, that's a bakasha. When we say, Rifa'enu Hashem, Baruch Aleinu, when we ask for parnasim, we ask for refuah, we ask for everything else, halat tzadikim. So we also add in, by the way, do us a favor of the same talamater levracha. Give us some rain, that we should have a good year, we should have a good parnasim. So because of that fundamental difference, Rav Soloveitchik felt the following. When you're talking about changing for the rest of the season, you're changing what your description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the eyes of the Tzibur. You need the Tzibur to decide that now we perceive God in a different way. If I have, let's say, a personal need, Rachmana Litzlan, somebody loses his job, so he inserts an insert into Baruch Aleinu that nobody else inserts. Only I have to insert it because I'm the only one who needs a parnasa. Everybody else is fine. In Shema Koleinu, I have somebody in my family who needs a Yeshua. So in Shema Koleinu, I add my own thing. I'm allowed to add my own thing in the Bakashas of Shemoneh Esrei. So we don't have to wait for the Chazan to say the same Talamat Levracha in order for us to begin to say. Right now we feel December 4th, December 5th is when we need the rain. So then we begin to say right away the same Talamat. There's nothing to do with the Shliach Tzibur. But what happens when you have like this? When you're trying to change the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're saying, not only are you a Rofei Cholim HaMatir Asurim HaSamech Noflim, but now, because it's the rainy season, our perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has changed, and we now perceive you not only as all that, but also as a Mashav HaRuach HaMerad HaGeshem. Brachos always have to be said according to the perception of human beings at that time of what they think HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to them. So if you have to make a bracha based on your perception, so at this rainy season of the year, our perception now changes, but you need the tzibur to decide that, that their perception changes. This is not a yachid asking for a bakasha. Mashav HaRuach is saying what your perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And at that point, you need the tzibur to be koveya what we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be at that given time. So that's the way he explained. In fact, the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Samach Tes.
Think about what else we do
right. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, you need the tzibur to do it. Correct. So you look in, I didn't put it on here. The Gemara has in Yuma Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, a very Peladika Gemara. The Gemara says that there was a certain time after the Churban Beis HaMikdash that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah decided, we're not going to say HaKel HaGadol HaGibur VaHaNor anymore in Shmona Esrei. How you talking? What kind of chutzpah are you going to take that out of Shmona Esrei? How can you say Hashem is not a Kel HaGadol? So the Gemara says the reason why they wanted to take it out is because, how can you say he's a Gadol Gibur VaHaNor if you allowed the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed? Aye, Nora Osav. How can you say Hashem is all that if in the end of the day he allowed the Nachrim to come in and ruin everything? They destroyed his house. So how can you say HaGadol HaGibur VaHaNor? He's so powerless, Kavayachal. So then the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Samatas, they stopped saying it. Why did they stop saying it? What do you mean? Teretz is because you can only say something in the first three brachos of Shemona Esrei when you're describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to fit with your perception of who he is. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that that time in the Churban, they perceived HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unfortunately, in a very lowly state, and they said, we can't say anymore HaKel HaGadol HaGibur VaHaNor, because that's not the way we perceive him. And if it's not the way we perceive him, if it's not the way we understand him, then we can't call him as such. And that's the Pshat in the Gemara. And my father added that perhaps this is the Pshat in the Gemara in Brachas as well, where the Gemara says in Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Al Shmuas Roz Omer Baruch Dayan HaEmes. When unfortunately someone hears bad news, he says a Baruch Dayan HaEmes. And the Gemara says, V'chai Vadim Levarach HaLarok, Hashem Shem Levarach HaLatovah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, that the same simcha that you have when you say HaTovah HaMeitiv, when you get something good, or you get a big present, so too you say with the same simcha, Baruch Dayan HaEmes, when somebody passes away. Tzidik HaDin. So the obvious kasha, my father posed this, so then why don't we make one bracha? HaTovah HaMeitiv on everything. If I'm supposed to have the same simcha when I have something good, and I have to have the same simcha when someone passed away, so why does the Gemara say, why don't you say HaTovah HaMeitiv, why don't you say Dayan HaEmes, why don't you say HaTovah HaMeitiv on both of them? I'm supposed to be Mesameach. The answer is, because the nusach HaBracha that we say has to fit with our perception. So yes, when we get something good, we say HaTovah HaMeitiv, but when something terrible happens to us, what's our perception at that time? Even though we're Mekabela Pesimcha and we have Emunah, our perception right now is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Dayan HaEmes. We don't understand it to be a Tovah HaMeitiv at this point, and our brachas have to be based on the reality of what we believe the perception is. And I think that's the answer as well. Although the Shach has in many different places that Ein Lanu Din Talmud Chacham is Man Hazeh, it comes up in many different areas of Halacha, that nowadays we don't really have Talmid Chacham. You think someone's a Talmud Chacham, yeah, go back to Rabbi Kiv Eger, go back to a real Talmid Chacham, go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nowadays we don't have Talmid Chacham, this is nothing, this is a joke. Just because our door is so lowly, so we think that anybody who knows anything is already a Talmud Chacham. So why do we make, if we assume in other Tchumim of Halacha, that we don't have a Talmud Chacham is Man Hazeh, so why do we still make a bracha, Shechalak Mechachmas Eli Reb, when you see a Talmud Chacham? Why do you recite a bracha? A bracha should only be recited on a Talmud Chacham. Nowadays, the Shach writes, Ein lanu din Talmud Chacham is Man Hazeh. So why do we make a bracha b'zman hazeh? Answer is, because a bracha is always made based on our perception. So what do I care that this person nowadays is not like Rabbi Akiva Eger? Big deal, but to me, I consider him, in our generation, I consider this person to be a big Talmud Chacham. What does it matter that he's not on the level of real Talmud Chacham from the generations of yore? Right now, my perception, living in my community, living in my times, is that I think he's a Talmud Chacham, so may I make a bracha. What does it make a difference that in other areas of Halacha we wouldn't consider him a Talmud Chacham? When we're talking about being koveya, whether we should recite a bracha on this person's scholarship, well, to me, he's a big scholar. To me, he's a big Talmud Chacham. So to me, I would allow a person to make a bracha. What? Meaning?
For example, you see some natural wonder.
Right.
I think so. Like, you know,
I think so. What do you mean? It says if you see a beautiful person. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, well, if they're this heavy or this thin or, you know, they have this much makeup on. It doesn't say that. It's up to the way I understand. If I see somebody who I think is beautiful, I make a bracha. If I see someone who I think is very different, I make a Mishan HaBrias. It doesn't say, oh, only if he's different this way and not that way. It's based on my perception, the way I understand, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the Bria. So this is just a little bit about Masha Baruch.
Mm-hmm. As a Yochid, you don't say
Masha Baruch. You don't say Masha Baruch, no. There's different minhagim what you do with regard to that. I saw a whole discussion as well about hanging up a sign on Shabbos or Yom Tov. If you hang up a Masha Baruch sign, I know in broyers, they have these big fancy plaques that they hang up on the wall. It's like very heavy.
Like what we have over
there. What? Yeah. So that's a whole shaila about being mosif to a binyan on Shabbos. When you hang up the sign on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you put it on the wall. Maybe we'll talk about that next week, perhaps. I don't know if it's interesting. But this is just a little bit of an appreciation for Masha Baruch HaMar Dageshem. I hope it was an appreciation. And it gives us a little bit more of a perspective as to what we're being mispala for and what the meaning is, why we begin to be mispala, particularly at this point in the year. I wish everyone Hagutavach, and take...